Yud Aleph 7, Friday the 29th of May, Rabbi Chaim Weizmann, Nozer.
Morning. Pasuk starts in Parshas Nosei Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer, Dabal Bnei Yisrael v'amarta lahem Ish oy Isha ki yachli linder neder u'nozer lehazer l'Hashem." A man or a woman who will do something v'vol peleh, something wondrous, and they will accept upon themselves a neder, a vow of nezius lehazer l'Hashem, to do this to Hashem. And Rashi points out straight away, he says the reason why the parsha of Nozer is straight after the parsha of Sota is because somebody who sees a Sota bekilkula miyav yazer atzmo min hayayin. And if you look in the parsha, you'll find that what it actually means is to see a Sota, what actually happens in the Beis HaMikdash as she is discovered. So the whole parsha of her imploding, and the whole parsha of her drinking the mayim, hama'olim, and so forth. And the Rambam describes it, it's a really embarrassing act as it is done. There are a lot of things, including uncovering her hair and a couple of other things, that really embarrass her and put her down. And Rashi says that there's a special connection here with the wine. Yain b'sheicho, Rashi says, lo manismocha parshas nozer parshas soto, lo manachash kol avayu soto, b'gal kulo yazir atzmoy min hayayin, shul mevi lidei niuf. The wine has a special quality, it brings to immorality. Afkan Shapirish Minayan. That's how he ends up. So it's an interesting thing. It's wine has a special quality it brings to Neath. But if you look through a parasha, you'll find that actually it's not alcohol. It's wine specifically. It says Yain v'sheichol yazil. There's a major machlekes of showing precisely what is sheichol. Now later on the Pasuk asks all sorts of vinegar that are wine related, anything that is grape derived, anything that is derived from raisins, dried grapes, whether it's coloring, whether it's only this grape skins, chatzanim, the pips, the grape pips, but it is wine. And the Rambam says that sheichel is a what we would call nowadays some sort of fruit punch. It's a mixture of something with wine. So it can be fruit juice with wine, or water with wine, whatever it is, wine. That, the bottom line is wine. So the first question to be asked here is, what is it about wine specifically that causes this problem? More than any other mashke hamashaka, more than whiskey, more than beer, it's wine. Wine is the problem. That's one question. The other question that we need to look at is the way the Torah calls it, it's ish ay isha ki yafli. They do something wondrous. And we have a whole parasha of Nadoim besides for this. There are tens of types of nadoim that a person may or may not accept upon themselves. Somebody may decide to say, I won't eat bread, I won't go a specific route, I won't eat meat, whatever it is, that is not a yafli. That is not something wondrous, that's just a neder. This is wondrous. It's a pele, it's a davar pele. What is the big pele about it? It's another point to be made. The other thing is, if you look through the psukim, you'll actually notice that they're very repetitive. Almost every six psukim, it kind of goes over what it already said before. Same words again. It's, again, pointing to this thing that nezios is something very, very unique and difficult to understand. Also, we find, right in the beginning, the parasha says, v'amata lehem ish oy isha. Well, we know that by nadon, there's absolutely no difference between man and woman. The only difference that there is between a man and a woman, legaba neder, is the fact that a woman, her neder can be demolished by her husband. Other than that, the severity of nadarim starts from when a young person is 12 years old for a boy or 11 years old for a girl, if it is clear that they actually understand what they're doing. So why is it that the Pasuk has to point out again, ish oy isha? And a number of other questions as well, and I'm going to start with the Gemara in Nozer. The Gemara says in Nozer, Daf Dalet, the Gemara brings the story of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik is one of the greatest Kahanim Gedolim that we've ever had. And the Gemara says like this, and I quote, Omar Shimon HaTzadik, Miyomai lo yochalti osham nozir tomei. I have never in my life eaten a osham nozir of somebody whose nazirus fell through. Essentially, he couldn't complete it because he had become tomei. Not intentionally, but he did. And of course, somebody who becomes a nozir tomei, that's it. The nazirus is over, he has to restart. He's not absolved of his vow, still has to complete it. But it takes 30 days until he can actually restart, because he has to fulfill the point of gadel pera, to regrow his hair. And of course, when somebody becomes tomei, one of the first things they do is they shave him off clean. So therefore, he can't begin at that point with gadel pera. The beginning of pera is a minimum of 30 days of hair growth. So he says, miyoma le'echalti yoshem nozer tomei, chutz mi'odom echod, except for one person, shaboy lai min adorim, he came from the south. Yifei einayim, he's a handsome boy, had beautiful eyes, v'tei voyim, good looking, v'kvitzoysof zduris le'taltalim, his hair was arranged in locks, he had long, beautiful hair, it was falling down on his shoulders. Omarti lo'i, b'ni, my son, ma'ro iso le'shacheis sa'al no'ezeh, why did you decide to destroy this beautiful, you got beautiful hair, what made you decide to destroy it? Omar Ali, he told me, Roye hoyisi la'ovi be'iri, I was a shepherd for my father in my town. V'olachti l'shev mayim min ha'mayim, I went to draw water from the well. V'nistakalti b'bevusheli, I saw my own reflection in the water. U'pochaz yitzri olai, my yetzhara jumped on me. U'bikish l'tordeni min o'elam, he wanted to eradicate me from the world. So he received this, whatever it is that it was, the yetzhara started talking to him, you're a good looking lad, why don't you this, do this, that and the other. Omartila Ireko, empty one, I told him. Mitnema atomizgoy boilom shayna shalcha. Why are you being haughty? Why are you being proud with a world that isn't yours? My hair isn't mine. It's not mine. The Rabbi Shem gave it to me. And now you're using a gift that I've received and you're using it against me. Shesayf Choli Ezrimo Veseleo, he's essentially talking to himself. He's saying to himself, at the end of the time, you're going to be worms and creepers. Once one goes into the grave, that's what happens. I swear, I make an oath, I will shave you off for the name of Hashem. Omadati, says Shimon HaTzadik, I stood up, v'nashaktiv al roishoy, I kissed him on the head, v'marti loy, komoyscho yirbo nazirom b'yisoyl, like you, there should be many more nazirom in Yisoyl, olecho ha-kosovoymer, for you, the Pasuk has said, ishki yafli linda neder nozir lahazel Hashem. So we've got a young man here, very worthwhile endeavor, seemingly he's made a grand decision. There's just one small problem. Another Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin. Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin, a story with David HaMelech. David HaMelech wanted that Shmoyne Esther should mention his name as well. It should be Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu v'Elokei Avraham v'Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov v'Elokei David. He wanted his name mentioned. So he said to the Rebbe, the Gemara says, Omar Yudom Arav, a person shouldn't push himself towards a trial or a test. David Melech Yisrael brought himself to the test. And he failed. Why do we say David? Those I tested, I didn't test you. Test me as well. And of course, the story after that was the story of Bathsheba. Right, so we say, but essentially, from this perspective, it was a fail. Otherwise, we would have mentioned David HaMelech. Once I heard of Pshat, I was in Etzrel when I was young married, and I went to listen to Meir Tzvi Zilberberg. He said, the Gemara says, it doesn't say, tos hu b'yodim, the person's making a mistake. He says, einoi elotoya, so that is essentially not about what he says, it's about the person. Anyone that says David HaMelech made a mistake, the person is a toyer, the person is a shtick toss. The whole person that says that is one big mistake. Rather than actually toss who be yoda, it's ene a lo toyer. It's an interesting vote on the side. Question out of this Gemara is, it seems here, when a person comes to the test, first of all, you never ask for one. Because you never know, at the time of asking, you're most for, says the Mishnah. You never know whether you're going to be able to stand for it. The other thing is, if you have one, sort the problem out ASAP and get away from it. You don't delay. You don't try to extend the test for longer. And yet, this young lad, the Nozir, extended his test for a minimum of 30 days. Instead of saying to his Yetzer Hara, alright, you want to do this? I'm shaving off right now. I'm destroying my hair right now for the sake of Hashem. No more tests. He's saying, no. You know what? You want to destroy me from the world? I'm going to baffle you. For 30 days, I will be a Nozir. That essentially means that for 30 days, you're going to carry on looking good. and only then you're going to destroy it. Why is he being so lauded by Shimon HaTzadik? He's essentially extending his test. Why would it be so... Why is it such a great thing? What is so great about it? I'm going to leave that on the side for a minute. First, in order to fully understand and appreciate what's actually going on here, we need to understand the questions that we asked before. You've got the Pele. What's this great, the whole Pele? What is it all about? There's interesting about Abarbanel. Abarbanel says, Klal Yisrael is divided into three main sections. You've got the Kohanim, you've got the Levim and Yisraelim. Now Kohanim and Levim, they've been elevated. At the loss of the Bechorim, the Kohanim became an elevated section. They are closer. Even on Al-Sinai, they already stood closer. They are closer. The Levim, straight after that. And the Israelim, seemingly, they don't have that kind of access. They never achieved it. They were never able to actually extend to that point. Hence, says the Abarbanel, Nezios. Nezios is the option of a Yisrael rising to the occasion to be like a Kohen. And he says, I'll try to use his own words. He says, Tziva atolas is bekerav amoy madrego acheres, another level me'anoshim, sheyu yoysor kedoshim kohan Hashem. They'll be even greater than kohanim. V'lo yu kohanim, but they won't necessarily be kohanim. V'hema nezium. These are the nezium that rise to that point. Ki hinei kedushosom tischalef mekedushas kohanim, v'ma sheyin kedushosom mileidom mibetan amaroyim kohan Hashem. Their advantage is, they're not born into it. Everybody knows the way a millionaire treats his money depends how he became a millionaire. If he became a millionaire because his father or grandfather was a millionaire, he's more likely to spend it easier. If he became a millionaire because he's a self-made man, he'll be far more careful with the money. And the reason for it is because he remembers where he's coming from. He remembers the previous life. He remembers what it was when he didn't have a penny, when he worked hard for his own piece of, for his own crust. So it's very, very different. There is a certain... And it's difficult to say this, but there is a certain level of disadvantage to somebody that is born into it. Perhaps a bit of a lack of appreciation. Right? But Nozer, he isn't born into it. It's something that he accepts upon himself. And therefore, as he rises to the occasion, he rises above those that have actually had the advantage of being born straight into it. So Nozer, says the Abarbanel, is essentially greater than a Kohen. Okay, so we know something about a Nozer now. A Nozer, the Pele of a Nozer is the level of Kedusha that he rises to. Okay, that is really something wondrous, but it still doesn't explain wine. What about wine, haircut, Tomei LeMeisim? There are three aspects here. The Rambam says there are three. Right? Tomei, wine, and haircut. So let's have a look whether we have a precedent. Wine, we have a precedent, Kohanim. We know Nozer of Avihu died because they went in Shtura Yain. Right, the parasha of Yain v'Shecha Al Teish Be'Kohen is straight after the parasha of Nodav and Avihu being killed inside the Kodesh. And Rashi says the smichus is because they were drunk. They had gone in Shtura Yain. Not cutting the hair, that we don't find. We don't find it elsewhere. And finally, Tumah again. Tumah is something that we find again by Kohanim. Kohanim have to be separated from Tumah. Tumah is a bit of a logical thing. If it brings you down from a certain spiritual state that you're supposed to be in, as you separate yourself and you want to be holier, don't go near it. Fine, that we can understand. Yain, Mashke HaMashakel, I can understand a Kohen that when he goes in to the Kodesh HaKadosh, he can't be drunk. You can't go into to the king's palace in a state of you know, you're drunk. It doesn't work. A Nozer has to keep to that non-stop. So again, we need to think about it. It's wine, it's not whiskey or beer. It's wine, it's not any other Mashke HaMashakel, so that needs to be... looked at. And finally, we have the Gadel Perasa Roisho. That is an abstention of a sort. You are separating yourself from your fellow human beings. If you don't drink, nobody knows that. Like a normal person, 99% of people, hopefully, walk around and they're not drunk. Usually during the daytime. The nighttime, the percentage points vary. But during the daytime, at least, that is what it is. Yet, when you see a person that is unkempt and his hair is all over the place and is spraying wild, people automatically might keep their distance because it doesn't look like an Adam and Aishuv. It looks a bit odd. Then again, another can be for only 30 days. And 30 days is not necessarily that he's going to look that bad already, especially if he starts from... Even if Naniach, that he started, he was Tomei, so he starts Nezios 30 days after he became Tomei. He's got 30 days worth of hair growth. Sach HaKol, he's going to have 8 weeks, just over 8 weeks of hair growth. Nobody will know. Nobody will know. The hair, nobody will know. So the hair also needs to be looked at. Let's have a look at a couple of Nazirim in history and see whether we can perhaps find a Nozir, a Zustell from a couple of Nazirim here. The most famous Nozir, arguably, is going to be Shimshon. Shimshon, arguably, is the most famous Nozir, Haftorah of this week's parasha as well. That's one Nozir. Shmuel HaNovi was a Nozir as well. Avshalom. Shalom was a Nozir as well. So we've got three Nazirim here. We'll look at them one by one. Shimshon HaGibbon was a very strange type of Nozir. He never accepted it. He never said those words. Shimshon HaGibbon never accepted those words. He himself never said, I will be a Nozir. He never said it. The Malach said it. His parents accepted it, and that was it. And strangely, if you look at what the Malach says, the Malach doesn't say he will be a Nozir ad yayim moisei. The Malach doesn't say that. He says he'll be a Nozir oilam. Nozir oilam is a long time. But it doesn't say ad yayim moisei. And essentially, he died, he wasn't a Nozir. When Shimshon HaGibbon died, he wasn't a Nozir. Why? Because he died within 30 days of Delilah cutting his hair off. So he never had the time to restart his Nazirus again. So when he died, he wasn't a Nozir. It was a very strange thing. He was a Nozir all his life, and yet when he died, he was not a Nozir. He was not in a state of Nazirus. When he ripped those cords, when he ripped everything off his hand, that was, he was mispalel, he should get a nekoma, achas me'enoi, one of his eyes, he should receive that nekoma. That's when he leaned against those pillars and pushed them apart, and the roof came down, killing well over 3,000 people in one go. But he wasn't a Nozir at that moment in time. It was a one-off, so to speak. It was a special tefillah that he made. Shmuel HaNovi, Shmuel is one of the greatest people we ever had. Shmuel Shokel Kneged Moshe V'Aharon. Moshe V'Aharon B'Chan, Shmuel B'Koyer Shmuel will say tonight. Right? Moshe, the Gemara says, Shmuel Shokel Kneged Moshe V'Aharon is a great man. So therefore Shmuel HaNovi is perhaps the greatest Nozir that we ever had. And then there's Avshalom. Avshalom kind of doesn't fit the picture here. We have Nazirus that is supposed to elevate you. And yet Avshalom committed on... If you look at it from a simple point of view, it seems that he seemingly had committed the gravest sin of all. First of all, he rebelled against his father. Now, besides for rebelling against his father, what is slightly lesser known is the fact that his father had 18 wives, right? When he took Bathsheba, the third, the Pasuk says to him, Shmuel HaNovi came to him, he rebuked him, and he told him, I'll give you chaheno v'chaheno, that's 6 and 6, so a total of 18 wives, and that's the maximum that he ever went to the point that when... It says in the beginning of Shmuel Beis that David became older and v'lo yecham lo, clothes wouldn't keep him warm anymore, and they brought in Avishag HaShonam. The Gemara tells the Sanhedrin that she demanded that he marry her, and he refused, on the basis that he can't marry because he already has 18 wives, and in order to marry, he would have to divorce one of the others, and that you don't do. You don't divorce another wife simply to bring in this wife. But the biggest pillar of it is that 10 of those wives he hadn't seen in years. Why? Because when Avshalom came to power, he was m'siachet with 10 of those wives. It was part of his campaign against his father. And David couldn't go. We all know that. It's Shamzani, you can't go back. Right? So David couldn't go back to them. That was it. And yet he refused to divorce them. They lived separately. He built them a place where they could live. And that was that. He couldn't go back to them. He refused. And here's the question. Avshalom was a Nozir Olam. And yet... he committed atrocious crimes. So clearly, his Nazirus didn't elevate him to that level. It's a very interesting thing.
Where's the source that he was a Nazir?
That Avshalom was a Nazir? It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Medrash as well, Rashi says it on the spot as well. The Gemara, it says over there, one of the first sources is that every year Avshalom would come in. There's a big difference, the halacha, between a Nazir Olam and a Nazir for 30 days. A Nazir Olam is allowed to get some sort of a haircut to make it light of him to carry the burden of his hair. And Avshalom, every time he did it, every year, he would cut his hair, weigh it, and donate the equivalent to Hekdesh in gold. The equivalent weight in gold, he would donate to Hekdesh. That's one of the sources that he was a Nozir Olam. And yet we know his behavior just doesn't match what was going on here. It was big, big pomp. He cut his hair, gold was donated, everybody saw. It was all done with all the pageantry and all the royalty attached to it. So you've got three Nazirim. Seemingly very contrasting one another. They're very, very different from one another. We've got Shmuel HaNovi, perhaps the greatest Nozir of all times. Shimshon HaGibbon, who's Nazirus, he never accepted upon himself, and he died not being a Nozir because of Delilah. And finally, Avshalom, was clearly the Nazirus didn't keep him in track, because didn't keep him on the straight and narrow, because he'd gone completely off afterwards. And he died, as is well known, Yod Ben-Tzuria killed him, and his body was thrown away in the middle of the forest and never merited burial. So a very strange combination here of Nazirim. So let's have a look at it. We're still stuck with the pele, the dovah pele and the yain. There's an interesting pasuk in Isaiah where the Novi calls it znus yain. The two words go together. Znus yain v'cherem, I don't remember the last word. Znus yain v'cherem. Some yain, again, has this extra quality. We also find Yom Tov is a mitzvah bosel of the yain. We find that v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, right? Yain doesn't say mashka mashakel, it's yain yisamach. There seems to be it's a special quality of wine that brings simcha more than anything else. It's not about the mashka hamashakel. It's about wine. It's about wine. If it would be about a mashka hamashakel, then a nozil, you should tell him, well, what is the limit at the moment? It's two glasses of wine and you can't drive, or whatever it is. Right, two units of wine. If you drink 2 units of wine, you're no longer a nozzle. You've destroyed your nozzle. That's not the limit. The limit is one drop. There seems to be, even though you're not shikha, it's got nothing to do with being drunk. Even though you're not shikha, wine has a quality to it that makes you happy. And at the same time it makes you happy, it seems to have the ability to make you lose control. That is what the problem with wine is, more than anything else. Still, it's a dovah pele. Still a dovah pele, not very clearly explained. It's still difficult to understand. But there seems to be something special about wine. That perhaps solves that. But still, the dovah pele, the ishki yafli, is not solved. That remains very, very hard to understand. Now, we also asked a question about this young man. Why did Shimon HaTzadik agree to eat from his kolben, and he had destroyed his nezius? He became tomei ba'onus. And yet, he pushed his nezius off. He pushed the cutting of his hair off for 30 days by accepting the zero upon himself. He should have done it straight away. Why do you keep yourself to the test for such a long time? Now, again, I want to go slightly off here and explain, what is it about a nozil and a sota, the connection here? We find that you see a sota, miyad yazayatzme minayayin. Why? Well, you can have somebody who's all his life he's been good and went on the straight and narrow. He sees a sota, now there is a danger that you're going to become immoral, and therefore you must immediately absolve yourself from wine. What has he seen? He's seen a horrible scene in front of him. He's seen something gruesome, and yet you tell him, no, wine, that's the problem. So there's a very interesting Ramban by the Pasha of Loit, when Loit was saved from Sodom. A very interesting Ramban. The Ramban says as follows. He gives three reasons there why she turned, Loit's wife, Iris, why she turned into a block of salt. He says as follows. One reason, famously, she didn't give salt. Fine. Then he says, it's derech hateva, it's natural that she turned into salt. Why? Because when she turned around, what did she see? She saw gofers v'melach, she saw sulfur and salt, and she saw the destruction. And when you see something naturally occurring in that way, it actually seems to change your own chemical balances in your body. She turned into a block of salt because of what she had seen. And we find it in halacha. There are certain halachas that we find that women shouldn't look at Sefer Torah at certain times because the look will cause a psul in the Sefer Torah, it's brought down. And there are other things as well where we find that the look, the seeing something, it can actually turn yourself into something different. So, when a kohen, when there is a vot from Ponim Yofes, when a person sees a sota b'kilkula, what he's essentially seeing is immorality discovered. That's what he's actually seeing. He's seeing the result of what immorality has done to this person and now her punishment. Because she's done this kind of immorality, just seeing that coming to the fore will cause a drop in his own boundaries that he's had until now of how he kept away from immorality. So therefore, he is now more liable, after seeing a sota, he is actually more liable to commit an immoral act himself. So therefore, he goes away from wine in order to prevent that. Which seems to be completely opposite of what was the thought, what was the usual thought. Usually you think, you see something like that, it would terrify you. You'd run a mile from immorality. And yet, he says it's the exact other way around. By seeing a sota b'kilkula, what it actually does is it makes you potentially more prone to immorality. Therefore, you run away from wine. Why wine?
Why did they make the sota in the time when everybody was congregated together? I mean,
yes, it's a very good question. The reason why you would congregate everybody is to teach everybody a lesson. See it and never ever do it again. On the other hand, here we see that faket, what it does, is it causes the immorality to creep into people. I don't know the answer to that. It's a peladi gazach. It's a very difficult question to answer. I don't know. But it's just in front of the office. Now, we still need to explain this young lad, right? The young person we still need to explain. And we also need to explain what is the dovah pele. So let's begin with the young lad. This is very, very interesting hamik dovah.
Why?
Pardon?
Why wine
as well, yeah. So wine we explained, there's a quality to it that is yisamach, that is nowhere else. And it's not about being drunk. It's about just drinking normal wine. As I said, a nozzle, one single drop, and he's done for. There's this quality to wine, it makes you lose control. And it's not necessarily about being drunk. It's a special quality of wine, difficult to understand, because in my Mitzvah it does not look like that, but that's what it is. Perhaps the French, they've got a lower limit on drinking wine while driving. There's 0% of their zero tolerance. Maybe they understand some musig that we don't understand in wine. Maybe they do. But the English, as long as we can have one glass of wine and still drive, maybe we don't have that musig. In any case, it's interesting how Hamikdavah. The Hamikdavah says, why is it that you bring a kol mchatos when you fail yonazias? So you bring kol mchatos both cases. You anyway bring a kol mchatos. But why when you fail to bring a kol mchatos? Hamikdavah says an interesting vote. He says, the reason why I bring a kol mchatos is very, and I'm making a psush here myself. We find in Masechas Sukkah, we find an interesting thing. What happens if it starts raining in Sukkah's night? And the Mishnah has a very interesting thing. It says, Ke'eved wanted to serve his master, v'shafach le'kitten al-ponov. He throws him the cup of water, or whatever it is that he says, back into space, I don't need your mitzvahs. Now, Hamidah says, a similar vote by Nozir. Somebody who fails his nazils, Shatiz Rebbein Shlom is telling him, thank you very much, don't need it. Don't need your separation here. It's not for you. Go and find yourself another occupation. It's not for you. It's not for you. I don't need it. That's why he failed. Because the halacha is that even if it's ba'inus, it's pshat ba'inus, and the Rebbein Shlom at Tzubishtel, that he failed his nazils. I don't need your nazils. Thank you very much. Go away with it. So, fakir, this makes the question even harder. Then why, if this was such a great endeavor for this young man here, then why did he take a fail? Why did he fail if it was such a great endeavor? So I asked this question to Rav Schneeberg and Edger, gave a very interesting answer. It says like this. It's the other way around. The Rebbeinu saw that actually this is exactly what he wanted. He wanted Taka to protect himself. But he was not a very learned fellow. He was a farmer, he was a lawyer, he was a shepherd. What was he? He's a shepherd. He thought this is the greatest endeavor. The Rebbeinu said to him, no. You wanted it lishmi, I'll make you tomei for the very same reason, so that you cut it off faster. That is why Shimon HaTzadik ate from him. Shimon HaTzadik ate from him because he realized that the tomei, the becoming tomei, was lishma. That is unlikely. Shimon HaTzadik always said, and I quote again from the Gemara, he said, miyom alechalti nozil tomei. He doesn't say that he never ate a kol nozir from a tohoyo. He says that osho nozir tomei I never ate except for this one. Now why would he eat from this one? Because this was the only one where the actual becoming tomei was also lishma. The actual becoming tomei was also lishma. That is why he became tomei, because the worship didn't want to extend his nazir's father to leave him longer than his tohoyon, because the actual acceptance was already with the correct reason and for no other reason than actually trying to rein himself in. Leaves us with one question. What is the dovah pele, Shaboy? And the answer is this. It's a pele. Or gufa, it's a pele. It's very difficult to understand. The Rambam is not clear on it. It's a pele. It seems to be the concept of taking control. Something taking control. Commitment. One word. It's all about the commitment. Somebody that commits himself to do something that he doesn't have to do. It's a concept of Kaddish Atzmacho B'Mutalach. Shkai.